I'm really thrilled this morning and really feel privileged to have Timoshoy here at our church. You were here one time with Leonard Simcoe. There was a missions thing, ACOP district thing. I mean, 100 years ago, right? So I think you were here. Tim has been still is the senior pastor at Gateway Church in Prince George. And he's been there a long time, and he's going to tell you about that journey as well. Val reminded me that this couple, Tim and Sandra, sang at our wedding. Wow. How could that be? Right? But they sang at our wedding. And I said in 1970. She says, 71. You know how your wife knows those dates, just pulls them out of the air from her. And I said, 71, I was just going to say, 1971. And Regina, Saskatchewan. And Ed Bradley and Lauren Pritchard tied the knot, and Tim and Sandra were there because we knew them as fellow students at FGBI at the Bible school in that, I guess it was that same year, 1970 or 71, somewhere in there. You can fill me in the dates. But we go back a long ways. And the Prince George Church is, I think I can safely say this, is probably one of the strongest churches in our fellowship, and it's a good church. It's been good leadership for years, and Tim has traveled the world, actually, as he's recognized not just in our own circles, but ACOP circles, but other circles as well, where everybody knows Pastor Tim, and because God has been using him. So, we were planning on having a farewell prayer for Amir and Desiree, am I saying that right? Yes, sir. To say goodbye to them, but he hasn't been well. And he was taken to the hospital, but I guess he's going to be okay. I just don't know what caused the pain, severe pain. But this was their last Sunday here as they go down to Richmond to help Tim and Sandra with this new idea, this new vision that God's laid on their heart to plant a church in Richmond. So the mother would be in Prince George, but it would work here, and I think he's going to be 3 weeks here, 1 week in Prince George, just to keep an eye on that. But when I heard that Tim and Sandra were coming here to plant a church, my heart just began to, really, my spirit, just because I felt that that's really good, so good, more gooder than we can actually say it is. And I just want to be, watch what God's going to do. So Tim, it's a privilege to have you and Sandra here this morning. And come, I'll give you this microphone, and would you welcome Timoshoy to our church this morning? Bless you, brother. Bless you, my brother.
Thank you for those kind words. It was really good to have Pastor Owen and Pastor Marcel come and visit us at our hub in Richmond. We call it our hub. It's our office hub where we're having our beginnings of what we're doing in that area. I need to tell you a little bit maybe about our lives. I just want to say, first of all, again, we've so appreciated our association over the many years with Owen and Val. Great servants of the Lord. They remind me of the people in the New Testament who are continually in the temple, just serving God in prayers, and Elizabeth and Zachariah. And great people in the service of the Lord. Some of the Gateway family actually have been part of this church over the years, and I think they come to the second service here, and I'm looking forward to seeing them this morning as well. And that's George and Ursula, if some of you have ever met them. Great transformation took place in their lives. We saw God begin his work in them, and wonderful to see that they've maintained faithfulness to the work of God and the house of God here. Our passions over the last 40, actually we're into our 42nd year in Prince George. Our passions were for seeing people come to Christ. That was number one. And then out of that, to plant churches. And we planted churches in our region, and some we facilitated across the nation and then internationally. We sent people to plant churches. And, you know, you send people, but sometimes you sense that maybe you should go. And this is where Sandra and I were at in the in this picture. We felt, for some reason, strangely directed to Richmond, British Columbia. And I think some of the things that stirred that in us is the fact that I have ministered into some of the nations that have been Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu nations, and so forth. And just really felt that for some reason we should get into that area where many of you know people from the nations are clustered there, and 65% of the population in Richmond, the people are not born Canadians. 65, that means only 35% of the people are actually born in Canada. We've been in countries such as Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, Turkey, and I've watched, especially among Muslim people, how God has opened their hearts. We went into a strict Muslim area a number of years ago with a church in Kyrgyzstan, actually. And they said one night we would like to set up a tent and have a tent crusade in a place that had never had the gospel preached, as far as they knew. Nothing had ever happened in that area. And they set up a tent that handled about 400 people. And we arrived to find that people were flowing in from that neighborhood. The tent was full and several hundred people were outside. And we had the privilege of preaching the gospel. And people were responding, and there was healings that were taking place. And I thought, wow, you know, you hear all these stories about the Muslim world and how they're coming to get us, and you know, the scare stories. And I think we have a great gospel, and I'm not afraid of what's out there. I believe that God has given us a great opportunity to preach the gospel to all nations. When I saw that, I said, God, give me more opportunities to do this among the people who have never heard the name of Jesus. They don't know nothing about Jesus. And lo and behold, I had, upon arrival of home, I had a secret desire in my heart that one day God would give me a platform among some of the Muslim people, even in our community. And lo and behold, the Muslims were having a conference, and they asked, would you come, and would you give a Christian perspective on a particular subject? I had three invitations from that group of Muslims. I had a platform to present Jesus Christ. And I believe this is a day and this is an hour where God is going to give us opportunities in our nation, because the nations are coming here. This is a great mission field. Canada is a great mission field. We believe that Richmond is a mission field. I look at it, it's one of the toughest places you can imagine to, you know, to come in and plant a church. It's a difficult spot, I realize that. When we went to Prince George 42 years ago, we knew that was a difficult area, but God gave us favor and grace, and the church grew, and we were able to do what we were able to do. So coming to Richmond, we thought, where do we start? How will this ever begin? How will we launch this? And Sandra and I felt that we should reside in Richmond part of the time. So we landed there, bought a place in Richmond, and of course we're going back and forth some. Our son and his wife, along with a team. They got about 10 in the team, lead the church there presently, and we're excited about Prince George. They're leading people to Jesus. They actually had a special thing for kids just prior to Christmas where they give away toys to poor children in our city. And they gave away 367 toys. But out of that, the exciting thing was that 222 people responded to the claims of Christ and the message of the gospel. To me, I just get so excited about that. Because when people are coming to Christ, children are coming to Christ, that's what it's all about. And so that's our passion, that's our desire, that's our drive. And so, again, we thought, well, how are we going to start? We felt we should land there and begin. And there are a number of people that were committing to come to be with us. And that's been slow in coming. And it's just been a little bit slow in coming. Some are saying we really want to be there. We had some airport workers, for instance, that worked at the airport. They said, you know, we'd like to get a transfer to YVR, Vancouver. And just hasn't happened to this point. A couple is in the wind. They're a fantastic couple, younger couple. He's a university professor, and their aim is to come to the area and help us and assist us. He's a black man who speaks Mandarin, which really shocks people. they're wonderful, wonderful people. They've been with us for a number of years. And so certain things are developing, but Sandra and I felt we need to be patient and not be in a rush and just take it one step at a time. And we are totally at peace with that. But it was back in June. I think Sandra should come up here for a moment. Sandra, come on, join me. She's okay. She won't hurt you. Come on, give her a hand. we were invited to a conference in Vernon, and I was asked to share a session there. And I had struggles. I thought, man, we're so busy, and we're going places and doing things. Should we do this? And then finally gave in, and one of the first couples we met coming in the door was Amir and Desiree. And immediately they stood out to us, and we discovered, of course, Amir had an Islamic background, came to Christ out of that particular faith. And maybe Sandra, you want to share a couple things.
I hate to admit it because they're from this church, but anyway, there was just something about that couple and what God had placed a secret desire in my heart. One, I said to God, could it be that could be a couple that could join with us in Richmond in planting the church there, but we didn't want to ask them or be forthright out in it at that time. And the way things have progressed, that's what God has planned. But anyway, I had this secret desire, and the Bible says that God gives us the desires of our hearts. So I'm thankful today that, in his plan, it is coming about.
Thank you, dear. Now, I want to be clear on something here. We wanted to work very closely with Pastor Owen and Pastor Marcel on this and make sure that, you know, this was something that they were comfortable with, and this is something that we all sensed that God would be doing and releasing. And so we've gone through that process, and today, I guess it'll be in the second service, there'll be a special prayer for them to release them to work with us. We have spent many hours with him. It just so happens that where we've located our hub, our office, is about one block from where he works. And, of course, Amir works with young people. And one of our desires was that we would have people that are young with us. My passion has always been to equip young people and develop them and release them into ministry. And so we see them as key to what is happening in that area. So we covet your prayers, and we know we can't do this on our own because without him, we can do nothing. Can you say amen this morning? And we really need the strength and the help of God to do whatever we do. Well, we're going to go into our message this morning, but before we do, could we just bow for prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the sense of your presence and your love. Thank you for this house and for every believer here. Thank you for the leaders and the workers that make this place happen, and for all the people also that really make all the difference in the world to the church. And I want to pray a blessing today on every member of this house, on this house. I pray, God, that this will be a great year, that 2014 will be a great year for this church. Lord, may things happen even beyond their expectations. Surprise this church in this year. Bring the right people in. Lord, we pray that you'd bring people in touch with the members of this house that are ready and open and responsive to the gospel, so that there can be conversions and that there can be growth that will be salvation kind of growth, not just transfer growth, but real growth in the church. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to share along the lines of vision dream and heavenly calling. And I might say this morning that I find it's really unique here in this place. You start with number 4, I think it is, in the notes. And we usually start with number 1, where we come from, but that's okay. I'll try to fit into the flow of things here. And I might say that right off there is a little error in the reference in Acts chapter 26. It's 19. The number 1 seemed to fall off here. So there we go, Acts 26:19. Now, I believe that God has a vision for you, beyond you, for your church, for your workplace, for other people, for the city, for the nation, and for the nations. God is a big God, and He includes a lot of big things in the dreams and the visions that He gives. The personal testimony for the Apostle Paul is once again stated in Acts chapter 26 and verse 19. And one of the statements I want to draw from his testimony is this. He said, "I have not been disobedient to the heavenly vision." Paul got a vision from heaven for his life. And when he was on the road to Damascus, we know a lot, light shone down and the presence of God was there, and he was introduced to Jesus. And Paul puts it this way. He says, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Heaven's vision came into his soul at that point, and it transformed his life. Now, when we talk about vision, we often ask the question, you know, what is your vision or your dream? What is your vision or what is your dream? And many times over the years, people would come to me and they would say, "Pastor Tim, what is your vision?" And I struggled with that. My vision? What is your vision? And so, as a matter of fact, it used to upset me to some degree. What is your vision? I said, you know, I preach every Sunday, I declare the word of the Lord and so on. Surely by now you understand what my vision is. But some people were saying, "Well, I want to know succinctly, what is your vision or your dream?" When we say that, and I think what part of the thing that upset me about that is this. Many times we bypass, when we ask that question, we bypass the higher or the heavenly vision when we're asking that question. If somebody asked me, what do you believe is God's will for your life? Or what has God spoken to you from His Word? I could answer that better. But to ask, what is my vision? Again, I struggle with that. And I think we should struggle with that, because I think there is a higher vision. It is the heavenly vision. And that's what God is after. It's better to ask the question, what is heaven's will or what is heaven's vision for your life? Now, I'm going to ask you that question. What is heaven's will or what is heaven's vision for your life? What is the heavenly calling on your life? Paul said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." Paul came back to that many times. He repeatedly shared his conversion and his vision of Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. It was the uppermost vision for his life. It was the thing that God was speaking into his life. It was the calling of God on his life. And he said, "I was not disobedient unto that vision." This was the highest calling. And that's why Paul said, "I pressed toward the prize. Press toward the mark. I press toward the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in my life." As long as I am alive, I want to be a dreamer of good God-given dreams and visions. Not long ago, back in 2013, I met a young man in India. He had recently lost his father. And his father had planted 475 churches in central East India. The son, not just long after that, it's not a long time now, has planted another 125 churches. They have so little, but they're doing so much. pastor doesn't have a car, doesn't have a motorcycle, doesn't have a bike. And all those churches have been planted. But as I got to know him, I discovered that there was a vision, a dream that was burning in his heart. And I said, well, what is your plan from here on? You've got 600 churches to take care of. He's got 60 key leaders that work with 10 pastors. And I said, what is your dream beyond this? He says, my dream is to go into the hardest, most difficult parts of India. And my dream is for thousands of churches. I believe he has a God dream. I believe it's a heavenly vision. It's in line with the Great Commission. And he is passionate about this. Passionate about this. It's a heavenly vision in his life. It's motivating his life. Sandra and I were also on that particular trip back in October. We were in Vietnam, and we were preaching a conference in Vietnam among what they would call in Vietnam, yet there's still an element of underground church there because there's still great persecution going on in sections of Vietnam. This particular pastor that led the conference had spent almost 6 years of his life in prison for preaching the name of Jesus. Still happening in our world. But in that conference, there was a gal that walked in and into the conference, and she was a sharp little gal. I thought, wow, she's a rather unusual lady. And discovered that in her life, she had a dream. I actually diverted in my preaching one of the mornings into the area of discovering your dream and reaching your dreams and how God can bring that into fruition in your life. And she came later to me and she said, I have had a dream. I've had a vision since I was a young girl that I would have influence through business. And this little gal, a great little business lady, 22 employees and doing some amazing things in the country, I thought, this is amazing. But I believe it was heaven's dream for her life, and God gave her unusual open doors and unusual favor in her life. It's wonderful to see that. Think of people like Letourneau, one day, had a vision beyond the sermon that was being preached. It was about huge earth-moving equipment. And he was kind of hearing the preacher, but he was hearing the voice of God beyond the preacher. And I think that's what happens in church a lot of times. And I often said, it really doesn't matter if people hear me as long as they're hearing God in the context of God's presence and in the house of the Lord. And that's what he received. And his dream came true. It was a God idea. It was a heavenly vision. We could go on all morning talking about testimonies of people who invented or came into unusual ideas that were God ideas. You see, good ideas are good, but God ideas are something else. Without a vision, we perish. Or better translated, we run wild, we run without restraint in our lives. That's Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. We lose focus, we become aimless, we achieve little for ourselves or for others. We just drift along, we have an aimless kind of life. And there's an old saying, if you aim for nothing, you'll be sure to hit it. But with a dream from heaven in our soul, we are empowered, we're transformed, we're motivated, and we're moved to do greater and greater things. We become great winners and we become achievers. Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. And that dream for black people becoming free came true. Nelson Mandela had a vision to be free and to bring freedom to his nation. And we are told the moment he walked into that prison, he saw freedom. He did not see bondage. What a life. I believe it was a heavenly vision that God gave to Nelson Mandela. If we can just connect with God's dream, the heavenly vision for our lives, I believe it will make all the difference for us and for others in our world. And I believe every one of us have that desire to know God's will, to know that heavenly vision. We want to know, God, I want to know your dream for my life. I want to know your will for my life. I want to talk this morning for just a few moments about three things about God's vision for you. Number one, God's vision is that you be blessed. The Bible tells us that God sent Jesus to bless you. Acts. We learn that. His plans for you are good. According to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he wants to give you a future, a hope, and an expected end. God said to Abraham, he said, I will bless you. He said that to him repeatedly. He says, I will bless you. God is not against blessing you. He sent Jesus to do that. He sent Jesus to bless you with vision and with dream that will come true. It's my belief that every person on this earth has a dream somewhere tucked away in their life. Young girls have a dream that they're going to meet the man of their life. Guys have a dream that they're going to meet this wonderful lady. Guys have dreams of succeeding in certain areas, whether it be in sports and business, whatever sector of life. Somewhere in our lives, God plants that seed of some kind of dream. And usually that seed of the dream is not, you know, that it would just all be hardship and terrible. The dreams that come from God are dreams that tell us that he wants to bless us. God wants to bless you. And I believe at some point in your life, God sowed the seed that he said, I want to bless you. Now, I realize that in this life, because we live in a fallen world, all kinds of things come in to mess up that heavenly vision and that dream. And we say, you know, what happened there? Because we do live in a fallen world and we have warfare and we have all of these things coming against us. But down deep, there is this vision that God wants to bless your life. He wants to touch your life. He wants to do something significant in your life. As a young guy, I dreamed certain things. I dreamed I would drive certain kinds of cars. I dreamed that, you know, I actually dreamed that I would marry this girl when I was about 5 years old. We became friends when we were 5 years of age, and she called me Matthew back then. She got Bible names all mixed up. You know, I was Timothy, but she was calling me Matthew, and I said, that's going to be the wife of my life, and we've lived together 45 years, and it's been a great life together. Thank God for it. That was a dream that came true. You know, I saw her looking at other guys at one point, and I thought, maybe I'm going to lose the dream. And I said, no way. I'm going to get her, and I want her. Hallelujah. That's good news. So God is not against blessing you. He's not against blessing you. He wants to bless you, not only with a dream, but with a dream that will come true, a vision that will come true. Number two, God's vision is that you be blessed big time. Now, some of us might have a struggle with this, but I really felt I should bring that this morning. Whenever I looked at people in the Bible that God gave a dream, it was not some little thing. It would all, even though it might seem small, you know, and we might think it was small, yet it had significance, even though it was inserted in a small way, as it were, in a person's life. That small thing had a big impact down the road. Think of the little maid, you know, who told Nahum that he should obey the prophet. Here's a little girl that had a little word there that changed the course of history. And God showed her something that she should do, and it had a huge impact in lives and in history. Abraham, for instance, God showed him, took him out one day, and he showed him the sand of the sea and the stars of heaven, and he said, so shall your seed be. I mean, count the sand of the sea,
just try counting the sand of the sea. Pretty difficult job. I mean, that's a stretch. Looking at the stars of heaven, we know that there are billions of them out there and all the galaxies. And Abraham was looking at all of that. And at that moment, Abraham didn't even have a son. And God said, look at all this. And this is how your seed will be. I'm going to multiply you in a powerful way in the days to come. And here's little Abe, you know. He's fresh out of the Ur of Chaldees, and he's just kind of converted, and he's getting all this word stuff from God about how he would be blessed, and not only blessed, but he would be blessed big time. Talk about a big dream, a big vision. You know, heaven's vision is that way. Heavenly vision.